Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are you a courageous Christian or a worldly worrier? I had to practice that because I kept saying warrior, worrier. I'd like to think I have godly courage, but I'm pretty sure I have a lifetime membership with the Club of Warriors. St. Paul encourages us all to leave worry behind and what? Pray for everything. Jesus teaches us not to worry about a host of things because our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. And he points us to look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and in their glorious radiance. A quote that recently caught my attention, which I thought Jesus might commend to all of us, says, "Worriers spend a lot of time shoveling smoke." In other words, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good, right? What are some of the things that you worry about? Too many things, right? Did you notice that Satan loves to put our focus on what is lacking in our lives in order to create an attitude of doubt and worry? He essentially uses the same questions he used to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Satan says, in essence, will God really be there for you when you're in danger? Will he truly meet your daily needs? Can God give you the power and influence in this world that I can offer you? Just sell me your soul and find out for sure. And we know it's a trap, but it's in our nature to believe only what we can see instead of trusting God for all things and putting those worries and concerns behind us. So how does one counter Satan's attacks on our trust in God? How does one find courage to stand up and fight? We follow Jesus' example and respond with the true and pure Word of God. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' second giving of the law. It's his final word to the Israelites before they crossed over into the promised land. It was a dangerous operation they were about to head into. Remember, the Israelites had been in captivity for 400 years. They weren't an army, far from it. The previous 40 years up to the entrance there, they were nomads wandering in the wilderness. The people they were going up against were established. They had fortified cities like Jericho. Did the Israelites really have a chance of victory? And it's in this context that God tells Moses these words to give to the Israelites. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes before you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that God can replace your worry and fear with courageous confidence? In Psalm 62, our lesson for the day, it says in verses 6 through 8, "He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." You know, when I think about King David, I think about a guy who had a lot of things to worry about. He faced threats from wild animals, threats from Goliath and the Philistines, threats from King Saul, who had several times tried to take his life, threats from his rebellious son, Absalom, threats from his own personal sin. Remember the tryst between him and Bathsheba. But let me go back to Moses for a moment. Moses is the well-known, well-beloved leader of the house of Israel. But God had chosen Joshua to replace Moses as the leader. Those were not easy sandals to fill. Look at what God did through Moses. God used Moses, the stutterer, to confront Egypt's Pharaoh, a major player on the world stage. Through Moses, God brought about those 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh he needed to release Israel from their captivity. And when that happened, Moses led the people, a massive crowd, out of their captivity in Egypt. And shortly after they left, Pharaoh changes his mind and sends out an army of chariots to chase down the former slaves. The people had their backs up against the wall of the Red Sea with no way of escape. But in the power of Almighty God, Moses stretched out his arms and the Red Sea parted, opening up an escape route as though on dry land. And of course, you know, as Pharaoh tried to chase them into the sea, God let the waters return, destroying Pharaoh's army. So then for 40 years, Moses led the children of Israel until they reached the doorstep of the Promised Land. And God was bringing a change in leadership. Joshua, whose Hebrew name it would be Yeshua, the same name of Jesus, is now given the charge to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. To say just Joshua needed some godly courage, I think, is an understatement. At the end of Deuteronomy 31, Moses gave his farewell to the people he loved for 40 years. But it was going to be Joshua who led them, this grumbling and rebellious people, into battle to take the land that God had promised them. And Moses' final words to the children of Israel were for them to have courage because God goes with them. I'm sure Joshua needed some of that encouragement. Is it possible that at the heart of your worries, God is calling you to be courageous? To be courageous as you live out your faith in a new or challenging job with new bosses, to adapt to a new school or a new culture that we're facing today, to be courageous as you face an unsettling diagnosis or a debilitating injury. But no more than getting to resolve that trust, Satan goes on the attack. In many and similar situations, your faith may not be well received. You might be mocked, you might be made fun of, even pressured to abandoning your beliefs. Is God calling you today to lead a courageous life for Him and His kingdom? How many of you have ever heard the story of Betty Zane? I don't expect to see any hands. Betty Zane, who in the world is that? I hadn't heard of her either until I was watching the History Channel. And Betty was living during the time of the Revolutionary War. In 1782, after the Patriots' victory at Yorktown, but before the peace treaty was settled sometime a year afterwards, skirmishes were still breaking out and fought in the colonies. The British had joined forces with some of the Native American tribes, and attacks were a constant source of worry. So it wasn't surprising when 50 British troops and 250 Native Americans showed up and surrounded Fort Henry in modern-day Wheeling, West Virginia, on September 11th of all days, 1782. At that time, Fort Henry had about 100 settlers, less than half of which, were men and boys that were able to handle a gun. On the second day of the siege, the fort's defenders had run out of gunpowder. And what they needed was for someone to go outside the fort to a blockhouse where they had a keg of gunpowder, retrieve the keg and bring it back so that they had something to use to fight with. And as they were debating on this perilous mission, 16-year-old Betty Zane stepped forward. In her mind, the men were needed to defend the fort. She argued that if she were shot, she wouldn't be missed as much as one of the men. And so she volunteered to go to get the gunpowder, and nobody was going to talk her out of it. Betty left the safety of the fort and ran to the blockhouse. When the Native Americans saw her, they laughed. They shouted out, "Squaw! Squaw!" And they left her alone, thinking her to be harmless. When Betty got to the blockhouse, she realized the keg was too heavy for her to carry. And so she loaded up gunpowder in her apron, as much as she could carry, and then sprinted back toward the fort. When the enemy realized what she was doing, then they started shooting. Betty zigzagged her way back to the fort and made it back safely without a scratch. After a while, the discouraged and embarrassed British soldiers and the Native Americans left the area. Betty Zane's courage was critical. She saved the fort. One poet wrote about this, saying, "Talk to me not of Paul Revere, a man on horseback with naught to fear. Here's to the heroine, plump and brown, who ran the gauntlet in Wheeling Town." You know, history doesn't tell us whether she was a Christian or not. I suspect she was, as most Americans were in that day and time. Whether she was or not, her story reminds me of those important biblical stories of Moses and Joshua, the people of Israel, and God's word to them. Be strong and courageous. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not worry or do not be dismayed. Easy to say, isn't it? Not so easy to do when life's circumstances fall heavily upon you. This has been a difficult, let's say tragic week, this past week. There's a wife in our neighborhood, as I mentioned before the service started, who just lost a 44-year-old husband. She and their four children must be worrying about their future. An elderly couple was happily living out their golden years when a car ran through an intersection and crashed into the couple's yard. The husband survived. His wife died of her injuries. There are others in our church family who are facing similar challenges and worries about their future and the future of their loved ones. The story of Moses and Joshua and Betty Zane and their courage in life's most difficult circumstances remind me of the greatest example of courage. It was Jesus who courageously faced Satan's temptations and put himself in the line of Satan's fire, resulting in his death, which he willingly gave up for the greater purpose of God and his kingdom. We say to ourselves, well, he was God. Doesn't count. Yes, but the Bible also tells us that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, like us. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. My friends, that was courage. And the only way to find such courage is how Jesus taught us, to rely on God's word. Be strong and courageous. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. May God, the Lord God, give us all courage to overcome our many worries through faith in Jesus, who overcame death for us and has removed our greatest fear, our greatest worry. These things we ask through Yeshua, Jesus, our righteous warrior and faithful leader. Amen.